Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. Welcome back to the kitchen. The round table is all set, people. You got 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City, and I'm going to get y'all out on y'all week for y'all Friday, get y'all open for this wild weekend. And, oh, yes, there's a fight taking off tonight. I'm surprised that it's still going down. But welcome to the round table of Sports City. I done took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, welcome to the round table. Let's go. Numbers 917-889-9592. So you got the next 60 minutes or more locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chef. And I'm a diehard Miami Hurricane fan. And on my grandmother's side, I am a Taylor. So it wouldn't be right if I ever crossed the borders of the Southern Region states and then get claimed by the Taylor family like I normally do every time I'm down south. Happy birthday shout out to the late Sean Taylor. Gotta give him a rest in peace shout out. Family always, man. They call us Taylor May when I cross those borderlines. So I want to give a moment of silence to Sean Taylor. Love and miss you, buddy. Unfortunate situation. I can't believe that it's almost, 9 years ago that we lost a monster out there on the field, a.k.a. the Meast. Half monster, half beast. But I'm going to give you a moment of silence, cuzzo. Okay, let's set this thing off, man. I got a lot of stuff to jump into. I've got 60 minutes here in this kitchen, man. Now I'm going to get people on their way out there for this wild weekend. A lot of stuff to jump into. I got my co-host for the evening, my brother Tommy B. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening? I'm having a little technical difficulty, people. Just vibe with me. Okay, we must be having a little technical difficulty. I'm going to get Tommy in here as soon as possible. Y'all just vibe with as much as possible. It seems like a hiccup every time I'm coming in here at Sports City. Just deal with me. I know that he probably would have had something to say about the situation around Sean as well. Call the number 917-889-9592. It's not letting me let any callers in. I know Tommy's here. I did want to hear what he had to say about this this day. I know it's April Fool's Day for a lot of people, loving to crack their jokes, so on and so forth. The Final Four is here, though, till they let me to open up the queue and get him in here. I definitely want to get him to get it open. I just was talking to a sports today. I just had him right here with me, and I'm having a little hiccup. If you will. Okay. I think they're going to let me get him in here right now. So Sports City, just relax. I'm relaxing too. I'm panicking a little bit. I can't believe that they're doing this to me right now. Okay. Hopefully it works now. Tommy, are you here?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, I got you now. They're bugging with me, man. I can't believe they let me start the show like this. But welcome. How are you feeling this evening?
I just want to start out and say happy birthday to my big brother up in heaven. Man, rest in peace, Sean. Never forgotten. Legends never die.
Okay, and definitely had to get that shout out there. Okay, there's a lot of situations that I would like to go, you know. And you know what? I'm going to do this the peaceful way, and I'm going to get a little violent. And I don't really want to say violent, but I'm going to get a little boisterous, if you will, here in the kitchen. So, Tommy, I'm going to set it off first. The Final Four is here as of tomorrow. In the first matchup, Villanova takes on Oklahoma. Villanova playing some great basketball out of the best conference in college basketball. That's right, the Big East. Going up against Oklahoma and notably the best player in college basketball in Buddy Hield. Your thoughts on this matchup and where you'd like to go with it. Don't spill too much into Oklahoma, though, because I have a big topic around Buddy Hield in Oklahoma.
Okay, I'll try not to then. One, ACC is the best conference in basketball, so I don't know where you pull this 90s or early 2000s, but this is going to be, I think, out of both games tomorrow night, I think this is the interesting one because you've got that zone defense in Villanova against the Oklahoma shooters. I mean, Buddy Hill, and I mean, we all know him. But, I mean, this is a very interesting, very, out of both of the games, I think this would be the most interesting one.
Okay, and as I look at it right now, this is the one thing that I like Villanova's edge over Oklahoma. All five of them can contribute, score, and rebound. That's the one thing that I like about Villanova. Oklahoma, if they have to prove that if Villanova locks in to Buddy Hield and makes them have a tough night, if the rest of the supporting cast could come out there and play good enough basketball to get these guys to the final, to the national championship. So this is one thing that I'm looking at. Jay Wright has his group more motivated than ever. The path that they had to take, the team that they had to play, they took on the number one overall team in Kansas and knocked them off. You know, thoughts could be alive for Villanova. Villanova's been playing great ball all season long, going up against an Oklahoma team where Buddy Hield has carried his team as much as he possibly can. Even in the game where he was off, you would see the games that they would lose because he didn't really have a great night. This will be tested. I know Jay Wright will try and, you know, keep a body in front of him as best as possible, even though his range is unlimited on a college basketball floor. If they could actually limit his you know, scoring, you know, sites or basically make him take tough shots, I think Villanova could be in a good situation. But if Buddy's feeling it, this could be anybody's game. Or Oklahoma could walk away from it. But the last game that he played, he was so, so into the game. And I think it was more or less a situation that he seen Kobe Bryant and they moved on from there. Anything else that you'd like to throw at it before we get away from it?
Yeah, but Oklahoma has more than just Buddy Hield that can score. I mean, they've got the two guards. They've got the big man, Spangler. I mean, it's more than just Buddy Hield. They can score.
I'm sorry about that. I'm having a little technical. I can't believe I'm having this technical difficulty. Okay. The next matchup I do want to get into is the Villanova-Syracuse situation. Syracuse, North Carolina. I don't know what's going on, Sports City. Please vibe with me. But Cinderella is what I put underneath Syracuse's situation. Is it 12 o'clock yet? And that's what I wrote next to it, right? Is it 12 o'clock yet for Syracuse, right? And North Carolina, well, I only put one word next to it, and it was dominance. What prevails? Does Cinderella continue to look good out there on the floor? If it's not 12 o'clock, if it's still 11 o'clock for Syracuse, or does North Carolina come out there and kind of play the big bad wolf or the giant or, you know, all of the situations where, you know, Goliath, you could draw up the biggest picture ever in this scenario. But, Tommy, your thoughts on this matchup, Syracuse going up against North Carolina?
I think it comes down to can Syracuse hit shots and can they rebound on the defensive end? And if they can harass Bryce Johnson and keep him limited from the boards. And can, I mean, it's an uphill battle for Syracuse. But Syracuse lost only by, well, I believe, 2 points to them, to North Carolina in the season. In the regular season. So, I mean, they can play with them. This one could be very interesting, but I think the Nova and Oklahoma game will be better.
Okay, now here's a scenario I draw with Syracuse, which makes it actually a little tougher on North Carolina, which everybody and their mother is notably saying North Carolina should run away with it. I think this could actually be a tougher game than people think. Just think, Syracuse wants to run that zone defense. Syracuse wants you to force to shoot those jump shots. If they are successful in pushing North Carolina out there to shoot the jump shots and those shots aren't falling, this could be anybody's game. If they're trying to force the ball into the paint to guys like Bryce or guys like Hicks, because I don't want to put too much in front of Meeks. I'm sorry, Meeks. I'm not a fan. You got to prove I'm from Missouri. I mean, I'm not from Missouri, but Meeks, when it comes to you playing basketball, I'm from the state of Missouri. Show me something. Please do it. I mean, 6'9 and scared to score around the rim. He threw a layup point-blank range off the backboard to the other side of the backboard. Like, that, I scratched my head because it's like, yeah, 6'9". You should at least be dunking that or confident enough to lay that thing in. So I think this could actually be a North Carolina's bench, Bryce, and, you know, depending on how much they get off of a guy like Hicks coming off the bench as well, wait to be seen. But if Syracuse could play that zone well, anything that comes in the midst of that zone, if they could actually trap the best to try and make a defensive move on stripping the ball or stealing and playing the passing lanes well, could actually play well for Syracuse in his matchup against North Carolina. So truly, you know, no doubtably, a lot of people are throwing this to North Carolina, but I think it's a very tough task to knock off a team three times, in which North Carolina's already done it twice. They do have the talent to do it three times. But if Syracuse finally stands up and says, enough is enough, tough one, especially with Roy Williams and Jim Boeheim going at it. These guys know each other. This goes back to the year where Syracuse won the national championship up against Kansas. Roy Williams was the head coach of that Kansas team with Nick Collison and you know, players of that nature, and he had Carmelo being Jim Boeheim. So this is an interesting situation, the history behind both of these coaches and also these two universities as well. I do have a caller in queue, the North Carolina notable. I have Aaron in the building. Aaron, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, man, I'm good, man. It's a pleasure to be here with you all this evening.
All right. Your thoughts on the situation at hand, and you better cheer up in here.
You know, man, it's been a crazy week. But you know what I'm saying? Honestly, man, with this Tar Heel Orangemen matchup, man, it comes down to a couple of things. First of all, who is really going to impose their will on the opponent for the longest? You know what I'm saying? The 2-3 zone notable, you know, staple when it comes to Coach Boeheim and the Syracuse Orangemen. Are we going to settle for the outside shot, which is what that 2-3 zone wants you to do? You know, settle for that outside shot if we're patient and we do what got us to the dance, we'll be fine, which was, you know, work that shot clock, get the ball inside and work inside out. If we're coming up and we're pulling for the perimeter and Jackson and, you know, Page and Barry and, you know, all these cats are pulling from the perimeter and then I hit, you know, this is going to be a game. However, if we do what we're capable of doing, and quite frankly, what we've been able to do all tournament long, which was pound that rock inside and use our depth as a big catalyst to what we're trying to get accomplished, then we should be playing Monday night. On the flip side, Syracuse is no slouch. I mean, I'm not going to really call them a Cinderella team because, again, I think it was Chandler who said this on Monday evening. The 10th seed, you know, in this tournament is really not indicative on how well this team really is and how good this team really is. You know, keep in mind, this is a Syracuse bunch that played, you know, a good 7-10 ball games without their head ball coach, you know, on the sideline serving the suspension. This is the same Syracuse team that has battled, you know, time and time again and been counted out by, you know, myself and others throughout the year and throughout the tournament, and they just managed to find, you know, the play that they need to make no matter when it is in that ball game to prevail. So, I mean, to two familiar opponents, you play them twice, beat them twice. You know, I say this when it comes to football, you know, when it comes to the division rounds, you know, it's very difficult to beat a team three times, and that's what we're going to have to attempt to do if we're going to raise the sixth trophy, you know, before Bryson Page, you know, goes to the NBA or whatever. But I honestly think we'll win this ballgame. I mean, I think there's going to be too much depth, too much Bryce, too much Page. I think, you know, to borrow your phrase, T, I think the clock strikes 12 on Cinderella.
They do have bodies to bang with, you guys. They do have bigs to go with this. So it is not an easy win, especially the way that they came back on Virginia. I think that they do have – feel like destiny can be on their side. But if North Carolina forces their will, I think that they surely can actually get rid of Syracuse. But it is tough to watch a team be beaten three different times, let alone where this team is originally bred from. They're originally bred from a conference that they know that they have to battle. But this is definitely an interesting matchup. Like I said, this looking at the matchup that they had back in 03, where basically Carmelo was the best player in college basketball at that time, I think we, you know, I think the tables have turned where Roy Williams has probably one of the better players in college basketball in Bryce Johnson. So, truly, it's going to have to be a full unit for Syracuse to come off with this win. But North Carolina, if Page can knock down some shots outside of that zone and make that zone come to a man-to-man defense, if that turns a man-to-man and Johnson actually works the paint, this actually works in North Carolina's favor. But they have to make things happen. I want to say after halftime, because Syracuse has withstood a lot of storms and has played better basketball in that second half. So everything can happen in that first half. Everything can happen in that first half. That second half is where the men will be made in this matchup.
And I still believe, and Chandler did back me up with this, these seniors and even juniors know that Roy Williams, his time's coming up, and they know the NCAA's coming after their asses. So don't be surprised if they don't win this and Roy's just dumb shit.
That'll be very interesting if either way, if they win, look if North Carolina wins this and Roy leaves, or if they lose and he leaves, because and more like a situation where they force it around his health issues is something that we're all looking at too. But like I said, Syracuse is played strong, first 10 seed to be in the Final Four matchup. Boeheim, with everything that they face, like I said, it's been destiny, or you can look at this situation as them being a Cinderella. I do like this matchup. I do like it. Even in North Carolina, the first two wins in the first two matches, like I said, it's going to be hard for them to win three times. Syracuse knows what they're facing. And it's a neutral floor. They're not in Syracuse. And, you know, hoping North Carolina shuts the crowd up. They're not in North Carolina where they could be going crazy in Chapel Hill, or they're down there in Houston making things happen. Anything else on this matchup or between these two teams or the Final Four? Syracuse, you missed the first matchup. Anything that you have before I get critical in this situation?
You know, honestly, man, I mean, since I missed the first half, I'm really going to be interested to see how Buddy Hill and Oklahoma Sooners man up against, you know, Villanova. You know, these two teams are extremely evenly matched, you know, with how they play offense and defense. You know, but what it's going to come down to, in my opinion, is can Buddy put on the Superman cape and carry them? If he has an off day, I'm not too sure anybody else in the building is going to be able to pick up Oklahoma. But if Buddy Hield is playing like we know he's capable of, Oklahoma could be playing Monday Night Basketball. So it's going to be how that pans out, man, but we can keep it moving, Tom.
Okay. Now, Sports City. I usually don't do this, Sports City. I really don't. You know what I'm saying? You know what? I'm going to just hit it how it needs to be hit. And if people feel some way about me going at it like this, so what? I deal with all different ethnicities, nationalities, people, all walks of life, so on, right? And as you see, Me and Aaron are African American. Tommy is of Caucasian descent, right? You have a team or a university in Oklahoma where I didn't forget what happened just a year ago from this. Well, we're in April now. A year ago from the month of March, where they had a fraternity come out and make statements about African Americans, right? Now, I know Oklahoma has won national championships, so on and so forth, you know, back in the day. but it hasn't been put on a wide frame or a mainstay in front of a lot of people. Then they get somebody to leak the footage on what they chanted within the respective university. Now, here you go. You are about 2 wins away from a national championship. That's if you can get past Villanova and whoever comes out of that next game up against Syracuse and North Carolina. Now, I'm not going to get all into the rant, but now you have a guy that is debatably where I actually throw it out there and say he is the best player in college basketball in Buddy Hield, even though I do like Bryce Johnson. I'm not going to lie. I respect Bryce Johnson in the paint. I love guys that play the paint. They just shoot, and that's what he got. But Buddy Hield, for him to carry this university up until this point, it's like karma and egg on the face of the people that made that chant, or that's their song, if you will, where they had to fold the organization or the chapter of the fraternity, and the kids that actually got caught singing this stuff got expelled from the school. But now it's kind of like karma in a good situation where Oklahoma has to rebuild and rebound after the situation. Just 365 days ago on how the situation went down. I want people to look past Buddy Hield, the player, and how he's actually sparked this thing to be a big turnaround where a lot of people looked at Oklahoma, when will they be relevant in a big sport again after this matter where, somebody from another ethnicity could be carrying them. And looking at Buddy Hield do this, I applaud him. And actually that situation being swept under the rug and being overlooked is huge to me. And I think this is a storyline that people need to understand, that Oklahoma was just in a situation last year, around this time, March Madness is when it happened. The video leaked, March 11, 2015. I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this situation. I don't even know which one of you to go to first, because to me this is huge. I think this is huge. Especially, look at this, and this is the crazy part, right? Especially if Oklahoma wins the national championship. I won't even go that far, right? Say Oklahoma wins the national championship. You know it's going to be because of Buddy Hield, right? What do you guys have to say about that now in Oklahoma? That's what I want to think about. That's what I want to know. What would you say, man? Because there's a mix of races on this team. I don't even want to say one or the other. It's a mix. Buddy Hield ain't even from the United States. He's from the islands. Like you got to respect him in that manner, too. But I only want to persuade them. I want to see how both of these guys feel about the situation, especially with Buddy Hield. Just a year ago, with all of this melee around Norman, Oklahoma, until this point, they are in Houston, potentially could be fighting for a national championship in basketball. You know what? Tommy, I'll come to you first.
It's despicable what happened down over there in Oklahoma, but it doesn't shock me over in hillbilly country. I just like to know what they all think now with the whole thing with Buddy Hield carrying an old man, everything else. And if something happens, like if Oklahoma loses and Buddy Hield does something, or one of the other African Americans, does it all start back up? Do they start making jokes and videos and whatever? Or do they make a video if Oklahoma wins the national championship? Do you see videos and everything again of them praising them? It was embarrassing. People need to grow the hell up. It's 2016, and it's ridiculous. But like I said, it didn't shock me with it being in hillbilly country.
Well, Tommy, you say grow up. That is their song. They didn't just make that up last year. That's been going on for decades. That is their chant, part of that chapter where they actually were made to fold that up. But still, there's probably people within the university that had to leave that chapter and just probably become, regular students within the university, which I think this is a big situation where they are actually cheering their faces off, hoping Oklahoma brings a championship back to Norman. You see what I'm saying? What if they do bring the championship back? you know, people still can have a party at a dorm room and still chant that. And not to say that they're doing that, but I just want to think about how this group, you know, went to Kruger, or Kruger, you know, saying enough is enough, because Kruger was one of the more outspoken coaches in the whole ordeal out of all of them. Him and Stoops were the two coaches that stood up and said, listen, I'm not having this. I'm not sitting around this situation. And for them to come out and play a better breed of football with Perry and them earlier this season, Oklahoma did as much as they could with Mayfield. Now you got a situation where Buddy Hill potentially going to be the number one pick. Could potentially be that. I think it's a three-man race, which is Buddy. It depends on how Buddy Hill looks in this game. If he gets shut down, then it's a debatable situation. But I still think if Philly ends up being the top pick, Philly better pick him up. If not, Philly shaving points. Point blank period, the Sixers are cheating, and they're doing, they're just blowing games on purpose. But if they win a national championship, which it could be tough for them. I'm not saying that it can't happen. But if they bring it back to Oklahoma, then what? You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm throwing that out there. But this has been going on for years. That has been their song. Has been their song. Sirius, your thoughts on this matter, especially despite everything that just happened 365 days ago, how Buddy Hill has been able to, put this all behind him, forget about it, but how is this more or less egg on the face of the people that are still at that university or former students of the university, despite the melee?
You know, I'm going to do it like this. You know, I'm not going to really focus on the melee that took place. You know, I'm going to sit back and congratulate the Oklahoma ball club, the Oklahoma coaches, the Oklahoma team for now allowing this type of negative publicity from a season ago to deter them and to creep inside their mind. Let's keep it 100. We all live where we live. We all do what we do. These athletes live in fishbowls, you know, and if you don't believe so, just ask Nick Young, okay? These athletes live in fishbowls where everything that you say, think, feel is publicized, and up until this year, up until now, this is the first time that we have been talking about this particular situation this year. We talked about it a lot last year because it was prevalent and it was dominant and it was, you know, this, that, and the third. But this is the first time we talked about it this year. And I dare say, you know, that Buddy Hill and the rest of the men, you know, in that locker room, you know, are still facing and still dealing with, you know, what they're dealing with. Let's keep it 100, you know what I'm saying? I mean, take the racial thing out of it. I live about 3.5-4 hours from Virginia Tech, okay? I go down there, and they're still putting the pieces back together for what happened with the shootings and this, that, and the third. You just don't bounce back from a national tragedy of this magnitude, albeit, you know, people lost lives in Virginia Tech, and this was more of a racial, you know, thing, but you just don't bounce back. And to be on the brink of winning the national championship speaks volumes, you know, to what they were able to accomplish this year. There's a saying that we say in sports, and, you know, we've all played it, we've all heard it, we've all preached it, you know, to those young men and women that we may have coached or had the ability to influence. Winning heals all wounds. You know, if the Oklahoma Sooners are able to find a way to not only win this game, but win the very next game and become national champions, you know, for the better part of 365 days until we reach this point again, all, you know, is forgiven. Buddy Hill is the reincarnation of LeBron James. You know, the coaching, you know, staff and everybody that's there are kings, you know. So I think the pressure's on Oklahoma more than, you know, the other three people, the other three universities that are being represented in the Final Four. Because I think that if they win this, this kind of, again, throws egg on the face of the men and women that were part of that, you know, that were part of that, you know, fraternity, and are part of that, you know, chanting, you know, what they were chanting and this, that, and the third. But it also vindicates them that, you know what, you know, yeah, there's an African-American man on my team. Yeah, there's a Caucasian man on my team. Yeah, there's men on my squad that, you know, don't check the American box, but we came together, you know, and this could be a blueprint, you know, for how stuff gets done in the face of adversity. You know, I posted something on Facebook, and again, I'm rambling, and, you know, because this has been wearing on me for a little bit, so I'm going to speak my mind and we can move on. But I posted something on my Facebook 2 days ago about something that my uncle taught me, you know, back when I was a little cat growing up. You know what I'm saying? So many times things happen in life and that, you know, you want to react and you want to feel vindicated and you want to stand up and you want to, you know, pump your chest and we shall overcome and we shall be heard. You know what I'm saying? But there's an art in being able to take a punch. There's an art in being able to stand in the gap and in the face of that person and be like, you know, though they slay me, though they throw rocks at me, I'm still going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm still going to go to work. I'm still going to go to class. I'm still going to sit here in the gym and throw up my 300 jump shots to become the best man that I can be so I can elevate my school and elevate my team to reach its highest plateau. I applaud that. I swear to goodness, if the Tar Heels wasn't, you know, in this thing, I'd be coming for Oklahoma because that's exactly the fight. That's exactly the ball that is taking this team to have to get to this point in the face of that. I applaud them, man. I really hope that they play well. I hope they lose to North Carolina. But, I mean, I applaud them because, again, 365 days ago, this was, we won't be staying here. You know, I applaud them all.
Right. And even if they're serious, look, I even say it like this to you, too. I say it like this to you. Even if they play North Carolina and beat North Carolina, like, if I were a North Carolina fan, I'd be mad at my team didn't win the national championship. But I wouldn't even be mad at Oklahoma won. I would sit back and watch the first question Jim Nantz and them want to sit up there and ask Buddy Hield and them, like, how do you feel, you know, the aura of the weight of you guys bringing this back to Norman, Oklahoma? You know what I'm saying? And how do they respond? Because I'm going to be honest. A lot of the storyline, a lot of the people are bringing this up like I am. I feel like I'm at the forefront bringing this right back up and not trying to stir up a storm of racist activity. But do you think this exists in, I want to say, other colleges? I don't want to say many because you guys could throw that out there and say many or more. But do you think like 5-10 colleges across America probably have this secretly going on in some of the fraternities in college? Or do you think this was just one respected college that got caught out there with somebody using their cell phone camera and recording and putting on YouTube and blowing this up beyond its means? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even want to just totally paint this as, you know, a situation that happens in Mississippi where that rebel situation happened back in the 60s and 50s, you know, or this situation right here with Oklahoma in itself. Like, do you think that there's other colleges, you know, that's hiding this, that haven't been brought to the forefront? Tommy, I'll come right back to you on this.
Seriously, I really, sadly, think it's going countrywide. Oklahoma's not the only country, the only university. I guarantee you it's going on all universities.
Wow. Okay, look. Let's do it like this. I don't want to say all of them. That's like 100+. If it's 100+, then there's problems. Then there's problems. But let's say, look, 20 to 35. I'm trying to, you know, keep it cool for that matter. And they just brought this up because Oklahoma's this far in the Final Four, and if they are to knock off Villanova and get that far to a national championship, hell, even if they did win a national championship, it don't even matter. They got this far. People always have to think, like, this wasn't a situation that was 2 years ago. Oklahoma did a good job of sweeping them in the world so good that this happened just a year ago. This story was leaked as of March 11, 2015, people. 2015. Look, that's interesting that you actually even went beyond the 100, we're saying over 90. That's big. I don't know.
I'm going to say this. You know what I'm saying? There are, I don't even know. I dare say 30,000 universities spread out, you know, between these 50 states. When you start dealing with, you know, D1 schools, D2 schools, D3 schools, each one of them.
Well, let's say D1 schools. let's say D1 schools. Let's say Division I schools. Then let's do that.
You know, who knows? I mean, again, my granddad taught me this before he passed away. May he rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? There is really no new thing under the sun. There really isn't.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, if it had to originate from somewhere. I'm not trying to get all racial, but this is not new. You know what I'm saying? This isn't new. So, if people are bringing it out now because of, you know, technology and, you know, cell phones and, you know, YouTube and things of that nature, but, you know, those type of, you know, chants, those type of clubs, those type of initiations, et cetera, have been going on for years. And let's keep it 100, you know what I'm saying? Let's keep it 100 across the board. African-Americans ain't angels about it neither. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a big, big issue with racial bias and racial stuff. And if we're going to call out, you know, one race or, you know, shine a light on one race, we need to shine it on all of them. We all need to, you know, grow the hell up and understand that people are people, you know, regardless of, you know, your skin color, ethnicity, you know, black, white, blue, green, tall, fat, skinny, whatever. And people are people, you know what I'm saying? And I refuse to be, you know, smack in the hand of the Caucasians for being, you know, racist. And on the flip side, you know, my brother over here is talking about, you know, that's Caucasian. No, that's not how it works. So across the board, I honestly believe that, you know, it's going on in universities. And I'm scared that
once again, Masai has to shed light and bring knowledge on this. I'm glad I called it before my phone dies again.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me introduce you in first. I brought you in to set that up. Hold on. Now, before I let Messiah get in here, now, I'm not even saying it like this isn't even, you know, spread across the board through all ethnicities, you know what I'm saying? But here's the scenario that I paint. There aren't, you know, how do I look at it, like saying an African-American fraternity on Oklahoma's campus. Or a Southern University or a Grambling University in the Final Four on the spectacle where everybody's watching, where they could end up being the national championship in a huge sport across the board, where they're being led by somebody that they were actually calling out. That's what I'm saying. I know across the board that people call out other ethnicities. It don't matter which race
right.
It is. But I'm just saying, just a year ago, this was the big relevant topic in Oklahoma where this got swept so far under the rug. People forget that this has happened 365 days ago.
I feel on that, but like I said before my homie gets in here, I mean, I agree with you, but again, I can't stress it enough, at least for me. I can't, you know, snap the head of one and not snap the head of the other. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is what it is, but I'll let the man go at it.
Okay, Messiah, before you won't even let me lead you in. Jesus.
No, it's Friday night. I figured it's been a while. I wanted to make sure the grill was still smoking hot. I see the flames is up and above. Shout out to the Sports City Chef. Sorry to, you know, break your protocol here, but, you know, it's been a while. But it's Oklahoma. Like, you take the good. It's like watching a 30 for 30 with the coach from Colorado State. When you venture off into the non-10 cities where minorities is not majority in, you have to take the good with the bad. If we want these brothers running on campus, smashing these white girls and living it up, you have to understand there's the other privileged side that still wants to keep their tradition going. So you take the good with the bad. If you want to be that brother at all the white, you know, parties and walking out the snow bunnies, then you got to deal with that other entitled title set that wants to keep it closed off. It's no different than talk about the master still not letting women in. So you take the good with the bad. You know, now, if they expose all them guys who's in that video chanting, they'll be at hedge funds working, and it's all be forgotten. That's how white-collar crimes get done. Nobody's going to talk about this video in 2 years. Them same dudes will be your boy Holly's agent in a couple of years. They won't even talk about it. You know, that's. I think minorities have more things to worry about when they get to these campuses, like all these guys walking off with four-year degrees and getting into the careers, like them guys in them videos in them fraternities are after they graduate. You know, I don't really get. Yes.
that the kids in the video got expelled. They're no longer on campus. But I'm more or less, I don't even want to paint it as, African American athlete or Caucasian athlete messing with an African American woman or vice versa, however the scenario sets up.
No, but that also goes into what you see in that video. They're on the campus with all that going on. I visit a small little southern private school out in Indiana. That was a private school. Dayton is all I went to. You have three brothers. They's at a party. They had a little Confederate flag. I didn't call it a stink because that's state territory. You know what you're getting into. The more you leave the major cities, and this is what people have to understand with them first brothers. What you got to taste in that video is with them first brothers, who was the first brothers to play in the ACC, the Purdue's, and all them guys when they the only black dude on campus and still had to perform. So you see a 30-second clip on YouTube and everybody want to get all emotional. But that's, you have to understand with people how far we have come from 30, 40 years ago. They waited till they was on a bus. They was acting like privileged punks, and that's the results you get.
Right, and the reason why I bring this up is because they're in the Final Four. Majority of the people that were on that bus, a part of that chapter of that fraternity, are probably still in the school, because I think two or three of the kids got expelled, but that bus was full of kids. All of them were chanting that song. It wasn't just those three standing on the bus singing. All of them were sitting there singing that song. They're all down there probably in Houston right now, screaming their faces off, wearing a number 24 jersey. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, they ain't down
and
there
getting his signature and selling it on eBay probably and making a profit off his number, which he can't do.
Right. Exactly that. That's why I'm like, it's so much egg on these guys' faces because it wasn't like this last March where they weren't painting a picture of Oklahoma being a Sweet 16, an Elite 8, or a Final Four, or a national championship contender. You know,
I'll show my age.
Why.
I remember when Stacey King and Mookie Blaylock, them boys, made a run in the early 90s. But you always saw that dynamic. It's like when you watch Ivy League sports and you watching Harvard strut out a starting five with four or five Nigerian and South African brothers. It's like, well, damn, these guys fitting in on campus. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you're dealing with Ivy League schools. And that's part of the stuff people have to prepare for when they want to go to these colleges, the campus. How do you deal with this atmosphere? Or if you figure, oh, I'm only here to play ball, but this is what, with the UCLA's, what Lou Alcindor and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is told about. When you go, you have to learn how to grow up in these scenarios and how to operate in this type of environment.
Okay. I'm going to ice the cake, and if you guys have anything else left to say about it, we can, but I'm going to do this like this. 50 years ago, to the month of March in this era of the Final Four, 50 years ago, they actually made a movie about this a few years ago, I want to say a decade ago, which I still watch this movie till this day. I got the DVD and everything. The movie is called Glory Road. I don't know if people have seen this, but I watched this movie ridiculously. And this is the story of the Texas Western team, which is now called UTEP, a.k.a. University of Texas, El Paso, where one of my favorite point guards of all time, Tim Hardaway. However, this was a coach that took a risk to start five all-black starting five. And they ended up winning the national championship up against Adolph Rupp. And if you didn't see the movie, please watch it. Go rent it, Netflix, whatever you need to do. I love it. This is almost comparable to, like, the program of Hoosiers to me. This is actually a true story. This actually happened. So 50 years to the date, people, if Oklahoma came up with this type of winning a national championship, what type of storm would that be? Like just watching the tables turn again 50 years ago, watching the country be on their hands, where, let's be honest, back then with Kentucky, Pat Riley was a part of that team, Adolph Rupp, and all of the historical talk that they had about Kentucky back then was in front of that Texas Western team. Texas Western overcame that situation and won a national championship. Picture Oklahoma with everything that just went on 365 days ago and bring it back home. You see what I'm saying? That's why I kind of wanted the icing cake, and that's how I had the scenario set, because it's the 50-year anniversary, and people are forgetting what just happened a year ago, or let alone 50 years ago altogether.
Can I lead off on this? Because I got folks banging on my door. Let me drop some knowledge. Glory Road movie's okay, but the HBO documentary was more insightful and more better. You even got Pat Riley giving his insight, who played in that game, the pressure,
right,
some first two possessions. We saw them brothers go up and dunk, and he knew it was a whole different ball game. So you got Pat Riley, who was an All-American at Kentucky, Dan Issel, another All-American at Kentucky, and they said they grew up in Kentucky, and they, it's not like those were the views of them, but when you had Adolph Rolfo, basically was the Mike, the Coach K of his era, and was like, listen, we're not losing the four black players. And, you know, once, you know, Hollywood get a hold of it and sprinkle a little soft music on it, but HBO did an excellent documentary on that, showing the divisive scene probably even leading up to that game, the whole season, even going in for that town. It wasn't even Adolph Ruff, just how the whole town, you know, as they started three black players and there was rumblings and white players was being put to the bench and how parents, and it was, you know, trying time. But, yeah, yes, your man Pat Riley, that's why he's able to connect with the brothers. He was in them, he showed them clips when he got dunked on. He's like, I don't know if we're going to hang with these guys. But, yes, 50th anniversary, and, you know, as we alluded to the last conversation, people need to revisit their history. You know, don't let Disney tell your history, but do your own research.
Right.
And his grandson is actually on the team, too, coming off the bench.
That's why I put this together, people. I was cooking. I was cooking last night, and I said I was going to put it together. That's the reason why, because the grandfather played on that team, and the grandson is on Oklahoma. That's why I put this dish together like that. 50 years in the making on Watching Us Unite. I was always told, and this ain't with my grandfather, this is a saying, united we'll stand, divided we will fall. But anything else that you guys would like to say, whether Tommy or Sirius, before we get away from it? Okay, the silence helps me. call in number 917-889-9592. Now, Sports City, I don't know which bonehead to go to first. I don't know which one to go to first. I want to ask the people in Sports City whether you guys would like to talk about Adrian Broner being stripped of his belt because he couldn't make weight after getting caught up with a robbery situation, or Johnny Manziel, people. He just visited another team to try and, you know, get pulled into the NFL to be a part of another organization, and pictures come out of him being out there, I'm not even going to lie, in the city that I go to every year, in Vegas and in L.A., with him partying and drinking still again, like he can't shake this situation. Now, one, I want to see how you guys feel about Adrian Broner. That's if y'all want to say something about it. But two, Johnny Manziel, has he played his final play or for his final team with Cleveland? Do you think any team would take a shot on him while he can't kick the party and drinking atmosphere? I want to see how you guys feel about this one. Sirius, I'll let you set this one off.
Wow. I'm really sick and tired of talking about idiots on this network, so I'm going to leave Johnny Manziel to his own devices. You know, may he rest in peace. His career, I don't wish ill will on no man, so whatever this man decides he wants to do, he's going to do. Adrian Broner is another one. And if you want to start getting real serious, you want to throw John Bone Jones in this mix too. A lot of kids, you know, he just can't seem to get out of his own way either. Whether, you know, getting pulled over for drag racing was a cop profiling, or all the man had to do was say, I'll see you in court and fight it in court. There are some people, you know, that, you know, are just magnets for stupidity. And there are some people that you just, you know, you hear about them, you know, in the news, you see it come across your TV, you know, you look down at your phone if you got the, you know, the CBS app or the ESPN app or whatever app you got, and you see something, you're like, yeah, it doesn't surprise you anymore. So, you know, I just write off three names, you know, it wouldn't surprise me one bit what happens to any of them, so I'm not going to waste any more time talking about them. If the other two guys want to have that, I'll let them go.
Right, and I mean, this is the thing. We talked about John Jones, so that's why I didn't want to include him. And plus, not to try and make him be see the easy way out, John Jones has 3 weeks before his fight. Now, this situation that was happening with Adrian Broner happened within this past week and a half, and not only did this happen with him getting arrested, He was at the weigh-in yesterday and didn't make weight and lost his belt in the wake of this storm. Now, watching him thinking, oh, he young, flashy, fly, and throwing money around in Walmart. I mean, all of this is happening in the month of March, right before his fight. Talking about losing control of your career, and especially while you're about to fight Floyd Mayweather's fighter. So you were calling out Floyd Mayweather, talking junk about Floyd, so on and so forth. They actually are right about you. They're right. You lost your belt because you not only got arrested, you were able to keep your belt, but you ate your way out of the division. You couldn't make weight. I mean, and that's just Adrian Broner. Johnny Manziel, I'm not going to lie. His freshman year of college, I was like, he's a talent. His sophomore year when he got caught up out here in Connecticut, that's the crazy part that I live right here, where he got caught up with that signature scheme and so on and so forth. He had to sit out a couple of games. He started throwing money signs up, so on and so forth. I'm like, oh, dude, he's cocky, but he can play football, so I don't want to take too much away from him. He gets into the league. They're trying to turn him around, send him to rehab, so on and so forth, and he just can't kick it. You mean to tell me you're in front of a billion-dollar industry? Billion-dollar now, people. Billion-dollar industry. You've only been in the league for 1-2 years, and you hurt yourself to the point where there might not be another team that will touch you. They might not touch you again. Like I don't know. So we already got one that said RIP to his career. Tommy, your thoughts on both Adrian Broner not making weight, losing his belt, and everything that followed him with the robbery situation, and looking at Johnny Manziel, I mean, will he play another football game again?
Johnny Manziel's career is done. He's done. If there's anybody dumb enough to touch him, then they should be an owner or a GM. Because he's going to do his true screw you up. I'm pretty much getting tired of talking about these dummies, too. Especially when we got Buddy Hill being robbed for AP Player of the Year. But, I mean, I guess it is what it is.
Okay, so nothing more, nothing less around that situation, though.
I'll show you. No, I'm done.
Okay, I mean, Tommy, if you want, we can talk about the AP Player of the Year situation. I'll let you start up about it. Your thoughts on how things are going down about the Player of the Year situation going to Valentine instead of Buddy Hill?
Yeah, I think it's a sham. Whoever's got the AP Player of the Year, okay, I'm not taking anything away from Valentine. He plays good, Valentine. He's good, fine, so be it. But there's no way in hell, and excuse my French if it comes out, this is just ridiculous that Buddy Hill did not get this. In my opinion, Buddy Hill had a better overall season than Valentine. It's a joke.
Okay. Sirius, your thoughts about it? I can't even disagree with them. And I can't take too much away from Valentine because Valentine played ball this year. I cannot sit up here and say Denzel did not play ball. He did play ball. But your thoughts on the scenario that Tommy throws out there?
You know, honestly, man, I can't be mad at either pick, you know what I'm saying? I mean, case could be made for, you know, Grayson Allen, even though he plays with, you know, the Duke Blue Devils. Case could be made for players like a Bryce Johnson, who was consistent all year. You know, Buddy Hill, his name got thrown out there. The little point guard from Indiana, he was balling. I mean, honestly, there were so many good candidates, in my honest opinion. This is, you know, I'm a Tar Heel fan, so you know, I'm going to pump my guy, but let's keep it 100. There were so many, you know, notable candidates. I didn't care who I went to. You know, Buddy Hill, you know, Katz, who has been sleeping under a rock, don't know who this guy is, but those of us who've been watching him all year, you know, this comes to no surprise. Valentine, again, it's unfortunate that, you know, his team got bounced in the first game or the first round of, you know, the tournament, but that doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, he's been balling all year. You know, Brogdon from UVA also, another cat who, you know, maybe got some mention. I mean, there's so many candidates, you know, it's just, you know, somebody had to lose, and unfortunately, you know, Valentine, you know, won it out. But, you know, I can't be mad. I really can't, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, Buddy Hield is still playing, and, you know, Valentine isn't. So at the end of the day, if Buddy Hield wins the national championship, I'm pretty sure Valentine would trade the Player of the Year award for a championship ring. I'm pretty sure. So, you know, let's see Buddy Hield with the last laugh.
Right, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Right there, I hope. And that's what I look at. Do they put these votes in before the tournament starts? That's what I'm looking at. Because if they just base it off regular season and put these in before any of the tournaments, whether it's the conference tournament or the Big Dance, then it's understandable. But if they're just coming out with this as a, you know, the Sweet 16, so on and so forth, and all of you still went with Valentine, like, what's going on with the politics in the world today? Like, are you guys really just Tom Izzo heavy? And I love Tom Izzo as a coach. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a Spartan fan, but he's a great coach. Got a great effort out of this team. These guys got knocked up by a Middle Tennessee State team who lost in the second round. It's like Buddy Hield led this Oklahoma team to a Final Four. Oklahoma has not gotten to a Final Four in a basketball team in a long time. Not even with your Blake Griffin and Taylor Griffin. None of those. No. Buddy Hield, guys of that nature helping Oklahoma get to this pinnacle at this point. So this is something that I had to look at and throw that out there. Anything else that you guys would like to say about this before we get away from it? Okay. Well, we are at the tail end of the show. I think plugs we close out from each of you. I definitely wanted to get perspectives on how you guys felt about the Final Four, but I definitely felt a certain way about Johnny Manziel, his pictures out there, you know, Adrian Broner, if his career is taking a big tumble, especially in front of the likes of a Floyd Mayweather boxer and you lose your belt, I mean, this is crazy. But, of course, I need close-offs from the both of these guys. Tommy, I'll start with you. I'll leave Sirius after you. Tommy, give me a plug, close-off, shout-out, anything that you'd like to promote before we shut down here at the roundtable.
Good show, everybody. Talk to everybody on Sunday after the Final Fours, and hopefully we have a good Final Four tomorrow.
Yeah, and after Tommy down there in the Metro, tie score 3-3. Nationals and the Twins going at it. It's preseason, but you know, being here, we just talk to each other because that's our brother.
I'm not worried about it.
So what? So I didn't cut you off. Stop that. I didn't cut you off. Look, they was up 2-0. They was up 2-0. I was like, Tommy's gonna come on here talking junk. My boys got back in the game. It's 3-3, and we beat the Yankees the other day too. Serious. So I need a plug to close our shout out, and we shut it down here at the ground. Everybody's beating the Yankees. Let's have a parade.
You and me and a bunch of buddies can get together, go out to the Bronx, New York, put on a hat and the baseball glove and beat the Yankees at this point. But I digress from that. You know, man, it's your boy Sirius up in F412 and the 703, man. It's such a pleasure to be here with you all on a rare edition of the Roundtable with your boy Sirius, man. Definitely check us out. For those of y'all who are downloading the show, we appreciate the download. For those of y'all who are liking us on Facebook and hitting us up on Twitter, we appreciate the love. Man, definitely Sunday, Lord willing, I'll be back in the building. Hopefully, I'll be back in the Mass Series. And this Tar Heel is about to cut down championship next on Monday. So rest assured, your boys are going to be happy. Even if we lose, I'll be in the building on Monday. I know Ty's going to say something crazy, like, Sears only shows up, whatever. Your boys are in the building, you know, Sunday. If you're going to hear Sunday, you'll be here Monday. You know, man, it's such a pleasure to be with you guys now. One thing before I go, man, today's April Fool's Day. Don't be foolish out there. The boys in blue is out with some lights popping cats out. So definitely be safe out there. If you partake of alcohol, get one of them Uber people to come pick your ass up. I definitely can't wait to talk to you guys again, man. Your boy Sirius is going to be easy.
No. Sirius, before you go, yo, that was a good game that y'all beat Chicago the other day.
Shut up.
April Fool's Day!
We all know.
I didn't even talk about the AD Jackson joint. than you know, OKC, Detroit thing. I left that alone. I left that alone. You didn't hit me up on Facebook about that one. That was funny.
Okay, no problem. KD and Sanders was chilling. They didn't play a minute. So okay, I can take that. But you got your boys up by like 19 on the Bulls at home without Derrick Rose and lost.
That's because
we ain't got no damn coach. I'm talking about more titty. I get these dudes left. That's me, man. I bring the fire to the table. The kitchen. Y'all already know how I do this, man. See, when it's the Rockets, he don't like talking that. That ain't got no coach. They ain't got no coach. But he's talking about the Jimmy Beard and doing this to meet me for all this stuff. Y'all gotta see what I'm going through. I show y'all my. Hold on, I ain't cut you off. I'll let you do what you do. You know what I'm saying? Look, if y'all see the Texas dude send me, if y'all see the post he put on my wall, talking about TP, I'm going to sit this right here. Ha, ha, ha. Faces with tears and everything. All I do is I cut, you know what I mean? I say, yo, when my team's beat serious, I'll come for him. You know what I do supposed to say? I call him, right? And you know what I hear? So this is Aaron Simmons. So please leave a message. You know what I'm
saying?
Listen, man. I won't call nobody at 2:45, man. You already had that plug and close out. Hold on. Don't do that because it's raining on the East Coast. You might get struck. But check this out. Look. Boy, City, he already had his plug close out. It's mine. You see what I'm saying? Now, I can't even do proper close outs with people cutting me off. You know what I'm saying? I'm just telling y'all how they come for me. And when I do it, they don't feel comfortable in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? You know what I tell them? Get a chicken noodle soup with a soda on the side. SportCityShows.com. Check out the website. The interviews are bloggers. We'll be back here Sunday on the brunch, and of course Monday to see how the national championship will go down. It can only be two, and then after that on Tuesday, there will only be one. On that note, tell a friend that it's the Chefs again, and if Sirius and them don't know, now they know.
Time.
Take it to the plate, rock it down, stuff the shit in 5-8, early and not late. Don't be making no mistakes. Put it out and then you bring it back straight. It's more money to make.
These bucks and full of facts, and all I need is one reason just to pull this burner. Cause y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I'ma get my turn up. These bucks and full of facts, and all I need is one reason just to pull this ratchet out. Y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I'ma squeeze my cannon out.
Just another victim of the ghetto, nigga. Post and pivot and distribute the work. My pop broke his pivot, got addicted to work. Man, they say it's a shame, but as they say, it's a game. I made my way through the game. Rowdy Lord Youngin' with that snotty nose youngin'. Everybody Lord Youngin'. The only youngin' now hugging that pavement for paper. They was shoveling payments for neighbors. I never made it to them 5-on-5. They was playing live, I was trying to stay live. Trying to stay alive. Mom's working 11:30, the curfew, I was trying to stay the vibe. Hoping them quarters stay at 5 while I'm killing. They can't stop me before the day arrive. I'll be copping again. So fuck if they die while I'm dealing. They ain't stopping me straight from the center to state property.
Young Chris and full of facts, and all I need is one reason just to pull this burner. Cause y'all told me